Beis Siman Siman Tzadik Dalet Halacha Chaf, and we're going to Siman Tzadik Halacha Aleph. So we're discussing how to create a proper Eruv, whether it's an Eruv Chatzer. So we're going to discuss today what's called Shitufim Mevos, which is a classical Eruv that we do in our local towns. We said one of the ingredients seems to be like there's three ingredients here. There's the first ingredient, which is the collection of flour or having one loaf being acquired on behalf of everyone else. Then there's the actual structure, an enclosed area. And thirdly, the schiras rishus, taking permission or acquiring some level of rights in the non-Jewish owned homes. So the question that we had is how to do that. And the Kitzur Shechonah discusses the idea that sometimes if a person does acquire some rights, so that only works so long as the non-Jew doesn't retract. If let's say the non-Jew retracts, someone else comes in instead of him. So you have to retract again anew from the second guy. Now, if a person stipulated that I'm acquiring these rights for a specific amount of time, and during that time the non-Jew rented his house to someone else, so then we could rely on the original, because you already stipulated that it should be for a specific time. If the non-Jew dies or he sold it to someone else, then he has to do it again. And he has to do these acquisitions with the inheritor or the new buyer. If a person rented rights from the servant, so again, if he didn't do a specific amount of time, it doesn't help. So if the servant is switched, there's a new servant. But if he did it for a specific amount of time, even if he left, that time it doesn't get canceled. Now, today our custom is not even to, like we said, it's complicated today. We can't go to every individual anyway. So we do it with either the policeman or some. Actually, I saw they do the electric companies. Why would you do the electric companies? Because they have rights to the homes, because they could go and check, you know, the meter and stuff like that. It is complicated, and that's the reason why there's a recommendation that today, even if you have a general Eruv, it's good to do more localized Eruvin, where there's non-Jews that are not living. Let's say you have neighbors, etc. A lot of people in Bar Park, I know they used to do that from one courtyard to the other. So this way, there's much more, again, because of the complexities of how to rent rights. It's very interesting. Very interesting question. When it comes to any rental that was canceled, so you have to re-rent, you have to do the rights again, and you have to do a new Eruv. That means that the bread that was used doesn't, so to speak, reawaken and now automatically works. So you have to again acquire the Eruv on behalf of everyone else, that bread. Now, the kids already discussed what I just mentioned, that if you can't rent any rights, so one of the tricks, we'll call it, one of the ways of doing so is by asking one of the Jews, asking the person to lend you a spot where you could leave something there. To leave an item in a person's non-Jewish home, that's already enough considered rights. And by doing so, he's acquiring it on behalf of everyone else. So that's one of the, probably the most, I think, logical thing that, at least today, a non-Jew is not letting you you know, and the problem is that the policemen today don't have necessarily rights to go to people's homes. It could be that the local sheriff does. That's why there's so many interesting ideas on how to do it today. When it comes to a Jew that unfortunately left his amuma, what's called his mechal Shabbos v'ches, he purposely is desecrating Shabbos in front of 10 people, or 10 people know about it, and he's not embarrassed to do so in front of Tamid HaChacham. The Umish has a tshuva about exactly what the parameters are. So, as the famous Chazanish today, if there's really considered, kofim, etc., or they simply had a lack of knowledge, unfortunately, today, it's like today, the whole lefty battle between the lefts and lefties and the Haredim and Eretz Yisrael is so sad. But it's part of really this argument. But the bottom line is that the kids are passing that they have a din of a non-Jew, and you have to be soicher reshus on them. You'd have to go there. You can't just acquire on their behalf. So it also makes it quite complicated. And therefore, in a localized place, you'd have to really be careful with such a reality. Many different congregations and towns, etc. So they do what's called, like we just said, Shitufe Mevois. That's Tzuras HaPesach, like we introduced the concept, right? Using even the pole lines and different, the electric lines. And then they get the rishus from as we said, either from the Nadru or someone's in charge. And they certainly need an expert to do this, because like we said, there's a lot of intricacies involved. And such places, the custom is to place the Eruv Chatzeres in the shul. And there's a whole argument of that works. In fact, the Kizik goes on to say, in places where the city is not fixed with Eruvins, so when they do Eruv Chatzeres, they feel the people that are living in the courtyard of the shul, so you're not allowed to leave the Eruv in the shul. You have to leave it really in the place of a deer. So also this is, it's a little bit complicated. The minhag today is to put the Eruv in the shul. And it usually covers, because you're covering both the Shitufim voice and the local chatzeres, and also because the shul is considered somewhat of a living quarters for everyone. A city, and this is one of the classical situations that once in a while happens, and that's it's important to find out before Shabbos that they do have a local phone line to find out that the Eruv is up. Now you could rely on the chazaka, but nevertheless, what happens if you find out that the Eruv went down, got ruined on Shabbos? So the halacha is like this: all the courtyards that are properly fixed, and there's no real hole at all, so it's only really outside of these courtyards. So even if the courtyard has many houses, you'll have to continue carrying in such a place. Why is that? Because at the onset of Shabbos, it was good, so we have a concept of kivud the huta. Now the kisa goes on to so, but the rest of the people really can't carry. So it's complicated, because if you're going to tell people that you know they're not going to listen, it's probably better not to. And the kisa goes on to say this is one of the places where we'll be very lenient to ask an angel to fix it, even if it involves a melacha d'oraisa, because it's extremely difficult to stop people from carrying. Now, if the non-Jew could do it with, let's say, with a aniva, with a bow, obviously that's much better. Matoiv, he says. Yom Tov is a kemenah of Shabbos, and the Eruv got ruined. It doesn't help you that Yom Tov was okay, because Yom Tov and Shabbos are two kedushos, and we start now Siman Tzadikei, the laws of Eruvei Tchumin. Once in my life, I think a place in Eruv Tchumin was I was in Kerestir, and I wanted to go from a hotel to the Tzion and Shabbos, or to the area of the Tzion and Shabbos, not to the Tzion itself, because really there's no point in going to the Tzion on Shabbos itself, because the as of Shev the Levi says, the neshamas are not there on Shabbos. But if you want to walk outside of a territory, so you have from the last part of the city, or if you're in a field and that is your place, you have 2,000 amos. 2,000 basically means 2,000 minimal steps. Now the actual size is about 1.6 or 1.7 miles. So that means from the last house, or the to the area that you're in, or the house you're in. So plus, Kitzur says you also have what's called 70 yamas and 2/3 of an yam, which is called the Bulashli. It's like the extension of every city. But in general, that will be the measurement of, and if you're not sure, like I said, you could use an average of 2,000 steps, and you would have to place the Eruv Tchumin in that spot to be able to carry from there. So God willing, we're going to discuss exactly all these laws in the coming days.